If you take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. And I've entitled this message this morning, What Belongs to Christ Belongs to Me. If you're a believer in Christ this morning, I want you to get this. What belongs to Christ? What God has promised Christ, by virtue of Him being our representative, everything that belongs to Christ, listen, belongs to His people. Isn't that what the Scripture says? That we are heirs and what? Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And so in this Scripture this morning, I want us to see the promises of God. The promises of God that are here in this text are given to Christ. And because He is our representative, they are of necessity also ours. Ours. And so let's see this morning. Our text will be found in verses 14 through 16. But I'm going to start at the beginning here and we're going to go down a little bit and see some things here. First of all, David here, the psalmist, he gives us a description of the object of his faith. He gives us the description of the refuge of his soul. Look at verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, listen, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Who is He talking about? He says, He is my refuge. Who is the He? What is the Lord? In the first verse, He describes Him as He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. He that shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, this has reference to that Holy of Holies, that secret place where God dwelt. You know, only one man was allowed into that place. Nobody else was in there. It was a secret place where the Most High dwelt. And you know what was in that room? The Ark of the Covenant. Who dwelt in the secret place but the Ark of the Covenant, which is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is pictured in that Ark. You remember it was made of wood, gopher wood and gold, picturing His deity and His humanity. It was a picture of Christ. And you remember He is the only mercy seat, the only place where that mediator between God and men is where the blood was shed. He's the mercy seat. And you remember what was in that ark, right? It was the complete law of God, the perfect law of God. What a picture of Christ who honored the law of God, who kept the law in His heart. He is the manna that was in that ark. Why? He's the bread of life. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood shall have everlasting life. And you remember that other thing that was in that Ark of the Covenant was Aaron's rod. That dead stick that budded. What a picture of Jesus Christ who died and rose again. And you know what those that almonds were? That's His people. It's His fruit. It's His elect. You see, life came from His death. What a picture of Christ. And God promises to him who dwelt in the secret place of, in the presence of God. Listen, he shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This is the promise of God concerning His victory. When He shall, listen, He shall. In other words, it's going to come. He shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This is a promise of His victory when He came into the world. This is the one who is loved of the Father, who is one with the Father and the Holy Spirit, when He shall come to save His people, God says this, I will always abide with Him. Isn't that true? He's always abode with Christ. If you were to go back, we don't have time, if you go to Proverbs chapter 8, it says this in verse 22, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way. When was the beginning of God's way? It's eternity. In the beginning, I was possessed of God. I was begotten of God. This speaks of the union between God, the Father, and the Son. And listen, He says this, I was set up. Not only was I possessed, I was set up. This speaks of His office. He was set up to be the Christ. When? From everlasting. From the beginning. Wherever the earth was, He said then in verse 30, then was I by Him as one brought up with Him, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him. Rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth, and my delight was what? With men. My delight was with the sons of men, His people. Christ delighted in us. The Father delighted in Him. He delighted in the Father. And He delighted in us, in His elect. And so behold that Jesus was always the object of the Father's delight. And by the grace and love of God, we who are His sons were the object of His delight. It's no wonder that David here says this in verse 2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. I will trust in Him. Listen, do you have a refuge this morning? David did. David said, that one who dwells with God in the secret place, that one who is pictured by the Ark of the Covenant, Jesus Christ, he said, that's my refuge. That's my fortress. That's my God. He's my God. The one who's going to come and be victorious, that God's going to abide with him. That's my refuge. Do you have a refuge this morning? Is the Lord that dwelleth within the veil your refuge? The one who is approved of God, chosen of God, ordained of God to be the sure foundation of the souls of His elect. Is that your refuge this morning? Is that your fortress? Christ? Listen, if He's not your fortress, you have no foundation. You have no hope. In Isaiah chapter 28, you know what it says? He said, you scornful men. You scornful men that rule Jerusalem. He said, because you have said, I've made a covenant with death and with hell. We are in agreement that when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come to us. We have made refuge, lies our refuge, and falsehoods we have hidden ourselves. Listen, if you seek a refuge based on your works, you have a refuge of lies. Now, you may make all the covenants you want. Make a covenant with your preacher, make a covenant with your priest, make a covenant with yourself. When God comes, your covenant will be disannulled. If you're basing your foundation on your works, on your religion, it is falsehood you have hidden yourselves. There's no fortress there. There's no refuge there. To build your soul upon the unholy mixture of Jesus' work and your work is no foundation at all. But behold the foundation God laid. He said, behold, I lay. I lay in Zion a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. You see what David's got? He's got a sure refuge. He said, my refuge is in another. My refuge is in the one that dwelleth in the secret place. My refuge is the one that God says, I will be with him. His refuge was Christ. That's the refuge, Jesus Christ. That's the tried stone, the proven stone. He's proven. He was proven by his righteousness, wasn't he? When he came in the world, how do you know that he was the one that dwelt in the secret place? Why? Because he was under the shadow of the Almighty when he came into this world. Righteousness proved he is the Son of God. His offering was proven to be accepted of God. Therefore, I want you to know this, the rest of this psalm is all about him. David is pointing you to his refuge. David wants you to glorify his refuge. The whole psalm is about Christ. It's filled with the promises of God to this one, this refuge. This one who was to come and save his people. All the promises of God here are given to Christ. And as you study the Psalms, I encourage you to know this, that you must see Christ first if you're ever to be comforted by the promises in these Psalms. You must see Christ first. All the promises of God were given to Christ first. And in this one alone, the psalmist trusted his whole heart and his whole soul. Do you need a refuge? I asked you, men, do you have one? Listen, do you need one? Do you need a refuge? Are you made to see your need of a fortress, a shield? What are you shielded from? What does Christ shield us from? You listen, from God. He shields us from the wrath of God. That's what this fortress does. You remember those cities of refuge in the Old Testament? There were seven cities of refuge. When a man slew another man by accident, you remember, he was not to make restitution to the family. He was not to ask the family for forgiveness. He had one thing to do. Run. Flee to the city of refuge. And only then was he safe from the avengers of blood. Listen to me, the avenger of blood is God's wrath. And the only safety is not to make restitution with God. The only safety is to flee to Christ. That's the only place of safety. He's the only refuge. And listen, this morning, if you have fled to Christ, I want you to know this, you are safe. Safe. You are safe. You are safe. He is a fortress. He is a shield. He is your God. We are safe. Why? Because the promises of God that were given to him. This is why you're safe. Because of what God promised him. Listen to what Paul said. He said, for all the promises of God, listen, in him. All the promises of God are where? In him. And what are they? Yea and amen. They're sure promises. You see, so if you grab this book and you look at a promise and you say, well, is that mine? Well, that depends. Are you in Christ? Because that's where all the promises of God are. Yea and amen. They're in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you have no right to any of these. But if you're in Christ, here it is. All of it. It's yours. Where? In Christ. It's in Christ. How can that be? Now, I made a statement when I gave a title, that which belongs to Christ belongs to me. How is that possible? That's pretty... Sounds on the surface very arrogant, doesn't it? How is that possible that what belongs to him can belong to me? Everything belongs to him. How can that belong to me? Well, let me just tell you, I don't deserve any of it in myself. The only way these promises in this text can be yours and mine is if we are in him and he is our representative. Through representation, these things are ours. First of all, I want you to see that you and I had a representative. We had a representative in Adam. He was a representative man. Now, what happened there? As long as our representative remained holy, what? We deserved everything. We had everything he had. But when he sinned, guess what? We received everything that belonged to him, our representative. When Adam sinned, what he merited for his people, all of us received. When he sinned, what did you get? You sinned. When he died, listen, you died. And so what do we learn by this? Everything the representative earns, those he represents receive. Isn't that what the Scripture says? Go to Romans chapter 5. Look at it. Tell me if it doesn't say this. Romans chapter 5. I know you know it. Look at verse 12. But I want you to turn here and I want you to read it again because it's very important. Very important Scripture. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. Now that's true, isn't it? When he sinned, that was the first one. That's the first time sin entered in the world, when Adam sinned. But notice this. And death by sin. He died. When he sinned, he died. But notice this. It didn't stop there. And so death passed upon all men. Why? For all have sinned. Don't you see? When he sinned, you sinned. When he died, you died. What he merited, you merited. What he earned, you earned. What he got, you got. Why? He was your representative. Verse 18, wherefore by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Don't you see, condemnation came by the offense? And so we all were judged in Him. Condemned in Him. So where's the hope then? Well, it's not in Him. And listen, it's not in you. There's no hope in you. There's no hope for you to turn this around. I want you to see that, because everything he got, you got. Why? He's your representative. But here's the hope. There's another representative. This is the one David is talking about. His representative. His refuge. His hope. There's another second Adam, which is Jesus Christ. It says, even so, verse 18 of chapter 5 of Romans, that even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, what happened? So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Therefore, if any sinner is to be saved, it will be through the representative man, Jesus Christ. So then all the promises given in the passage of our text must first be ascribed to the representative. And as he fulfills and receives the promises of God, they become ours. They become ours. Now listen, you're still not convinced this is about Christ. I'm going to give you one more thing here in this. Look at verse 13 of your text. Go to your verse 13 of your text. I'm sorry, verse 11. Look at verse 11. Read that with me. It says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee, the Christ, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up, bear thee up within their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Now, you remember, that's exactly the Scripture reference that Satan used in testing and tempting Christ. He said, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down. And then he quoted this verse. He said, you throw yourself off this mountain, and listen, If you're the Son of God, then this is going to be true of you. The angels will just bear you up and they won't let you die. And Jesus said, you're not, it's also written this, you ain't going to tempt the Lord your God. This is surely speaking about Jesus. But look what he failed to mention is this next part. Look at verse 13. Satan omitted this part, didn't he? Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot. Don't you see? This text is saying, look, he's not going to die until he accomplished this. That's what this text is saying. Satan, the angels will keep him until when? Until after he had treaded on the enemy. This could only be speaking of Christ. Now, how did he tread upon the enemy? Listen, by faith. You see, Christ trusted God. He accomplished redemption by trusting the Lord. Look at verse 4. This is speaking of Christ. He shall cover thee. The Father shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. You see, Christ had both the right and the power to rebuke Satan, yet what did He do? He trusted God and used the Word of God as His shield. The Word of God. He trusted God. And what was the result of his trust? Look at verse 5 in your text. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror that by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at the noonday. Listen to me. Because he trusted in God, Christ was never afraid. Do you think he quaked at their accusations? Do you think he for one moment feared the arrow that flew by day? Do you think he feared? What about sin? Do you think he feared sin would contaminate him? The pestilence that surrounded him was sin. Do you think he feared? No, he trusted God. This, I'm talking about Christ. Christ, this is the promise of God. He shall trust me. And he did. And he was not afraid. He said, which of you convinceth me of sin? Who? He was not afraid of them. And it was by faith in God and his obedience to God that as our representative he procured righteousness. And by his obedience he offered himself to God. Therefore again I ask you, are you in Christ? Are you in him who trusted God? Is he your refuge? And I'll tell you this, if he is, if He is your refuge, then I want you to have these promises today. I want you to take these promises, and we're going to look at it two ways. And my text is going to be found in beginning in verse 14 and go through verse 16. There are seven promises here. There are seven promises of God, first of all given to Christ. And because He is your representative and your refuge, these promises also belong to you. What's the first promise? A promise of deliverance. Look at that in verse 14. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him. Let me ask you this. Who is the only one who loved God with all of his heart, soul, mind, body, and strength? Who? Who is the only one? There's only one. It was Christ. Jesus Christ was the only one that loved God. The only one who loved the Father. And see, Jesus as He lived, all His love was upon God always. Can you imagine that, loving God always? That's all you and I can do is imagine it, because we would love to love God always. We have no power. But Christ loved God always. He did always those things that pleased the Father. He did the will of God. Isn't that the manifestation of love? To do the will of God? In Hebrews 10, the Lord by prophecy said Lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. What was the will of God? It was to sanctify His people, by the which will we are sanctified. Jesus in John chapter 6 says, I came not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, that of all He had given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Therefore, He willingly, in love for God, in love for His glory, in love towards His brethren, our Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary to bear our sins in His own body on the tree. What love is this? What love for the glory of God that Christ would lay down His life for the sheep, that He would willingly bear the sins of His people, and God there imputed our sins to Him as a substitute. And there on that cursed tree, God punished Him. Upon Him fell the full weight of God's wrath. Look in your text at verse 8. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Who knows the reward of the wicked but Christ? Who alone felt the reward of the wicked in its fullness but Christ, when He bore our sins? But what was the promise of God to Him who loved Him? What was His promise to Christ? I will deliver Him. I will deliver Him. Because Christ laid down His life for the sheep, because He loved His Father, God swore to deliver Him from death. This morning I want you to see Him. Behold Him who died under the wrath of God. Listen to what He said. He said, is there any sorrow like unto my sorrow? You that pass by, is it nothing to you? This morning, is Christ's death nothing to you? You hear about Jesus dying on the cross. Jesus dying on the cross. Does it mean anything to you? Why was He dying? Why was He suffering? What would cause His sorrow? It was His love. It was His love to God. See how He loved God, even when God forsook Him. He said, my God, my God, my love, my love. Why have you forsaken me? Even through all the hell he experienced, he still loved God. He who was made sin knew no sin, did he? Even though he was made sin, he knew no sin. He still loved God. Why the question then? That's why the question. Why have you forsaken me? I have not stopped loving you. It was because of our sin. Therefore, when He died and His soul was brought before the Father, you know what? It pleased the Father. He pleased the Father. He fulfilled His promise and God delivered Him from the grave. Even as God promised through David. He said this, my heart rejoiced, and my tongue shall be glad. Moreover, my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. You see, he believed and loved God that in this promise, God said, I will deliver you. And after suffering the hell at Calvary, guess what? God did exactly what he promised. I will deliver him. And he did. He delivered him from the grave. But I want you to know that this promise also belongs to you. You who are in Christ. You who are in Christ. Listen what God says to you. Because you have loved me, I will deliver you. Even as Christ loved God, so does every believer love God. Now think not, believer, your love to God is sufficient for anything except to be burned. But because of our union with Christ, my love for God is sufficient because of His love for God. You see, everything He has is mine. So His love for God, guess what? It's counted as mine. When God sees my love, you know what He sees? He sees perfect love. Because what belonged to Him belongs to me. What He earned, I received. What did He earn? By the love of God, He earned righteousness. By the earned love of God, He redeemed me. I don't desire to diminish your love. Don't do that. If you love God, it's a gift. It's a grace of God that you love at all. But rather, you should make this should make our love to grow. Seeing our love is not the grounds for the promise, but His love is. Our love is not the grounds, but rather the fruit. Therefore, you who love God, to you who abide in Christ, God promises this, I will deliver you. Deliver you from what? The penalty of sin. Listen to that. The penalty of your sin. What's the penalty of sin? Death. Death. God swears, because you have loved me through Christ, I will deliver you from the penalty of sin. What does He say? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are where? In Christ Jesus. You're in Christ Jesus, just like David. He's my refuge. If you have a refuge, you of necessity need to be in the refuge. If you are in Christ, listen, there is no more penalty for sin. Why? He bore it. He bore the penalty for your sin. I like that picture of the scapegoat, don't you? He confessed all the sins on the scapegoat. All of them. All the sins of Israel were put on that goat. And then what? There was a strong man who took that goat, put it on his shoulders, and bore it away, never to be seen again. What happened to your sin? Christ, the strong man, bore your sins away, never to be seen by God again. How did He do that? Well, that's a second goat. Second goat died. By His death, bore away the penalty of your sin. Sharon and I were talking about the Red Sea. Hey, walking through on dry ground, these big walls, water just on either side. And you think just any moment that wall would just collapse. Can you imagine all the sinful thoughts that they had traveling in between there? And surely they thought God would let that water fall on their heads. They deserved it. But you know what? Every one of them made it straight through, and not one drop of water fell on them. Why? Because it fell on Christ. Comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. Speak comfortably to them, to Jerusalem. Why? Her warfare is accomplished. The war is over. That her iniquity is pardoned. How is that? Well, for she hath received something of the Lord's hand. The Lord's work. It's the Lord's work. It's the Lord's hand. It's His work by which she receives something. What does she receive? Double for all her sins. Double payment. This is why believers can rejoice in the judgment of God. You know, you can be happy about God's justice, God's judgment. You know why? Because I'm happy because God is just, aren't you? Because God's just, He cannot demand twice payment for sin. Therefore, His promise is sure. I will deliver you from the penalty of your sin. And He has. He has. Second thing He delivers you from is the law. The law. The law can only pronounce a curse. The law could not help you. The law could not save you. The law could not do anything but condemn you. And what did He do? I delivered you from the curse of the law. How? By being made a curse, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by being made a curse. By satisfying the law. You know what the law sees when he sees me? He sees Christ. Remember, everything the representative gets is mine. And he honored the law. Guess what I did? I honored the law in him. So we're free from the law. And listen, we're free from death. Spiritual death. When he came, he delivered you from the captivity of death. By giving you life. What's the evidence of that life? Faith. Trusting in Christ. And soon, you and I will be delivered from physical death. We will die. We may die in this body. But God promises this, that we shall be raised. Every believer that dies is going to be raised incorruptible. Why? Because my representative was. You see, everything that belongs to him belongs to you. Now, the second promise is this, and I'll move quickly on these. The second promise is this, a throne. A throne. Look at your text again. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. I want you to know this. Nobody knew the name of the Father except Christ. In Matthew chapter 11, this is what Christ said. He said, all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. The only one who knows the Father and the will of the Father and the word of the Father is Christ. And only those the Son reveals the name of God, the will of God, and the Word of God to, will know Him. Scripture says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness. This morning, some of you, this is just plain foolishness. I'm speaking in a foreign language, and you have no clue what I'm saying. Just babble. Why? Because you're dead. You're spiritually discerned. You're spiritually judged. You cannot receive them. You cannot know them. Except what? Except Christ reveal it to you. Except Christ reveal it to you. By nature we are blind and we cannot see the things of God. But when Christ in sovereign mercy reveals them to you, it's only then you'll know the Father. Christ alone knew the Father. And what does He say? I will exalt Him. I will set Him on high. You see, when Christ came into the world, what did He do? He declared the Father. He declared the will of the Father that salvation is only through Him. Salvation is not by works, but by grace through faith in Christ alone. That's what God revealed through Christ. He preached the gospel of Christ. And He fulfilled the will of God. And what did God do? He sat Him on high. This morning there is a man in heaven seated on the throne of God. There's a man there. Why? God said, I will set him on high. And He did, didn't He? Scripture says He hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus Christ every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Did God fulfill His promise to Christ? Did He seat Him on high? Is He there? I tell you, there is none higher than Him. God says, I'll do it. And Christ acknowledged that in John 17. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. For what purpose? That He may give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. He has power to give life. But this is also a promise to us. See the greatness of this promise to us who are in Christ. We were chosen in Christ before the world began. We were in Christ when He died. But listen, we were also in Christ when He rose again and is seated on the throne of God. We're in Christ when He was seated on high. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul said, I'm alive. How do you know, Paul? Because Christ liveth in me. I was crucified when He was crucified. But I live because He lives. And because He is seated on the throne. You listen, I'm seated on the throne in Him. That's exactly what Paul says in Ephesians 2 when he said this. Even when we were dead in sins, what did He do? He had quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved and hath raised us up, listen, together. Don't you get this together? What belongs to Him belongs to me. Because I'm in Him, where He goes, I go. What He does, I do. What He gets, I get. The promises of God are to Him, belong also to me, by virtue of union. Now, Scott, if I promise you something, don't your arm get what you get? Or is your arm separate? It don't get it. And you just stay away from that, you don't get it. No. When you eat food, doesn't your whole body benefit? Why? Union. So what Christ gets, we get. Union. When He was exalted, we were exalted. We were seated together with Him in Christ in heavenly places. And if we were in Christ, accepted before the world began, if we were crucified with Christ, yet now are quickened by the Holy Spirit to faith, which is evidence of that, how then shall He not fulfill this promise to take us and live with Him forever? If we're already there, then what's going to stop Him from bringing us literally there? Nothing. Why? It's ours. It belongs to us because of Him. That's what it says in Job, that God would set up on high those that be low. Are you low? Was Christ low? Was there any lower than Him? And God set Him on high. His people mirror that. They're low. He had to reach down to get us. But He says He will set Him up on high. Where is Christ? Where is He now? That's where I'm at. Why? God promised. God promised. Third promise is this. When Christ, God hears Christ, He hears us. Look at that next part. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. Jesus said, when he's about to raise Lazarus, he said, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I know you always hear me. And then he said, Lazarus, right, Lazarus, come forth. Why? Because God heard him. God always heard Christ. When Christ called upon God, God always answered in the affirmative. Why? Because whatever Christ did, he did the will of the Father. Whatever he asked, it was the will of the Father. He did always those things that pleased God, and God always heard him. Was there ever a time God didn't hear Christ? Then that promise is fulfilled, isn't it? Father, I will that they be with me where I am. Do you think anything's going to hinder that? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You know what? Everyone Christ had in mind, they were forgiven. Every one of them. Why? He asked, and the Father said, I'll answer him. I'll answer him. You remember Peter when he denied the Lord? When he denied the Lord, he left. Make no mistake, when it says, I go fishing, he said, I'm going back to my old life. Christ is dead. I've denied him. There's no hope for me. I go fishing. What was the difference between Judas and Peter? Can you tell me the difference? Both denied Christ. Why was Peter saved and Judas left? What did Christ say to Peter? I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Today, if you're a believer in Christ and you still believe this morning, why is it you believe when others have left? Why is it you're still here? Why does this have any value to your soul this morning? Why? Because of this promise. Jesus said, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And you know what God says? I've heard that. I heard that. But I want you to know that this promise also belongs to you. When you cry unto God, you listen. He always hears you. Now, He may not always give you the answer you want, but He hears you. And He gives you the answer that is best. Why? Because He hears Christ. He hears Christ. Jesus said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Do you need grace? Do you need strength? Do you need hope? Do you need faith? Then why not ask? Isn't that what He said? When He shall cry, I will hear Him. What belongs to Christ, listen, belongs to you. Belongs to you. The next promise is His presence in trouble. He said, I will be with Him in trouble. I will be with Him in trouble. Was God always with Christ? There's only one mysterious time in which God forsook the Son, and that's when He was made sin. But that was of necessity so that He should save His people. But as soon as justice was satisfied, God was surely with him. God was surely with him. The promise was always, I will be with thee. This is why he was never afraid. Because God was always with him. He said, I will be with him in trouble. Was God always with Christ? Then you can have this promise, God is always with you. In Psalm 46 and verse 1, David said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Listen, this morning, can you not bear your grief, your sorrow, or your guilt? Then listen, pray for it to be removed. You can remember the previous promises, I will hear you. Pray for it to be removed. But what if God doesn't remove it? Here's the other promise. I will be with you when in trouble. If I will not remove the trouble, I will most surely be with you in the trouble. In trouble. And the fifth promise is this, the promise of honor. He said, I will deliver him. Again, he's reiterating what he said before. I will deliver him. And when he delivered him, he set him on high. But here's another promise that is yet to come. I will honor him. I will honor him. Oh, my friends, listen to this. There's coming a day when everyone will honor the Son. Everyone. The Scripture says they sang a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Thou hast made us unto our God priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard a voice of many angels round about the throne and beast and elders, and the number of them 10,000 times 10,000 and thousand of thousands. What does that mean? Everybody. Everybody. And what did they say? Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory. Listen to me. Christ will be honored by everyone. I will honor Him. This morning we are seeking to honor Him, aren't we? We desire to honor Him, to honor Christ and what He has done. But I know this also, that God says this, I will honor them that honor Me. Do you honor the Son this morning? That's what I want to do this morning. I want to honor the Son. Well, you know what God says? I'll honor you. I'll honor you. He will honor us. He honors us by giving us His name. Isn't that an honor? Remember old Jacob? What was his name? Jacob was supplanter, trickster. But when God wrestled with him, what was his name afterward? Israel, Prince. What's your name today? Listen, my name is His name. Remember, what belongs to Him belongs to me. His name is my name. How can I prove that? Well, Jeremiah proved that, didn't he? His name shall be called the Lord our righteousness. And then later on he says, her name shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Don't you see I have His name? So what do I have? I have His honor. I have His honor. Promise of long life is the next one. With long life shall I satisfy thee. Oh, friends, when Jesus Christ, the Scripture says, He shall prolong His days and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. What does that mean? He shall be forever King, forever ruler, forever Savior. He shall have long life. And what does He give to His people? Eternal life. Eternal life. He said, I've given to them eternal life and they shall never perish. He that believeth in Me shall never die. Isn't that long life? Is that long enough? Eternity? That's what God promised him. What belongs to him belongs to me. And this last thing is this. He shall show him My salvation. In other words, the Lord promised Christ a seed. And you know what He says? He says, I will bring every one that I gave you. That salvation that Christ procured, God is going to give that salvation, His people, to Christ. He's going to show him. He's going to show him. In that day, Christ will see all of His seed. All of His seed. All of His. He shall say to the north, give up, and the south, keep not back. Bring My sons from afar. My children from the ends of the earth. God promised Christ, I'm going to show you the effect of your salvation. And so then he promises to us, everyone that is in Christ shall see this salvation. Everyone that is in Christ will experience this salvation, both first in the new birth, but then face to face. That's a promise of God. He's going to show Christ all of His people, but He's also going to show all of His people Christ. We're going to see each other. We're going to enjoy each other. We're going to rest together and love each other. That's the promise of God. To Christ first and then to you. So then what can we conclude? All that belongs to Christ belongs to me. If you're in Christ, all that's His is yours. What are you missing? I mean, isn't that the root of our discontent? Is we think we're missing something? And if you're not content, it's because you think you're missing something. What are you missing? You have all the promises of God in Christ with your yea and amen. What are you missing? You have the love of God. You have the righteousness of God. You have the peace of God. You have the forgiveness of God. You have a eternal mediator who stands between you and God. You have the promise of being heard. You have the promise of being set on high. The promise of being honored. What are you missing? Promise of eternal life. The promise of complete salvation. What are we missing? If you're in Christ, you're not missing a thing. We have all in Christ. Pray God will bless this to you. I really do. I want this to be a comfort to you. All that belongs to Him, by virtue of Him being our representative, belongs to us. And they're yea and amen. If you're in Him.